Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And certainly over the course of the pandemic, we've been watching closely, monitoring the situation where scammers have taken advantage of folks. Those numbers have grown. And we'll tell you about that as we continue to provide you with the information that helps you protect your information, your money, your safety. And so joining us as they do every month, we are so pleased to have with us Jonathan Liebert, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Shannon. Glad to be here.
And Ada Rodriguez is also on the Olson Newsline. She's the VP of Operations and Development with the Better Business Bureau. Ada, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Okay, let's start with Ada. So in addition to all the other kinds of crimes that are being reported out there, apparently there are some that involve something called sextortion. So why don't you tell us about this? We're starting off with the sexy stuff right off the top.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is important stuff. I mean, we've seen a huge increase, and so the BBB is really just trying to warn people about it, and the FBI is involved. So in 2019, there was over 43,000 reported cases for the Internet Crime Report, placing extortion in the top three of the most common Internet scams. And so with it being within that top three, we really felt like it was an important topic to bring up and just make people aware of it. And essentially what this looks like is where you essentially are, there are threats to expose explicit videos or images of the victim, images or videos of the victim utilizing pornography, copies of their browser history, or evidence that they downloaded pornographic videos. So whether or not you have or haven't, essentially the scammer is phishing for content and will try to blackmail you. The other scenario is a romance scenario. So we'll talk about both of them and just kind of what you can look for in order to protect yourself.
Okay. So let's break down how they operate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the phishing scenario, which is the most common, they'll contact everyone, right? I mean, they'll just kind of reach out, cast a wide net, kind of like scammers do, whether or not you visited these sites or not. They'll claim that they hacked your computer, activated your webcam, recorded your behaviors, give you as much information as possible so that it does feel real and legit. They'll say that they gained access to the website you visited and threaten you to send this information out, whether that's to your boss and your colleagues or family and friends, right? If a payment is not made. So oftentimes this threat is empty and it's, you know, a blackmail message. Usually they don't have enough personal information to make the scheme even plausible. But victims are targeted often because their information was compromised. And so that's the first piece of information, is that you need to evaluate whether or not your content or personal information was maybe compromised in a security breach. But in most cases, the scammer may just have your email, telephone number, your email, your password to your email. That's the other thing we've seen. And they'll refer to it in the email in order to sound more threatening and more convincing. So this happened at the BBB, actually, a couple years ago. We had 5 different people receive the same email threatening to disclose the pornography websites that they visited, even though those websites are locked within our organization anyways. And so we knew right away that it was
a scam.
One consumer in Memphis, Tennessee reported receiving 5 emails just in 1 week demanding $2,000 in Bitcoin, which is another red flag, right? And they actually used her password in the subject line, so that made her feel pretty vulnerable and threatened right away, and threatened to send videos to all of her contacts in her email with the compromised activity, right? And so she knew that she had never visited any of these sites, so she knew that it was a scam, but then, of course, it's that next level of there was some level of security breach, and so needing to look into how to protect yourself moving forward.
Right. And some people are not that familiar with the internet. And so they may wonder if they're approached through that way, they're wondering if, did I accidentally hit the wrong thing? Did I accidentally click on the wrong thing, and oh my goodness, I've opened myself up to, you know, shame and embarrassment if this word gets out. I mean, I'm talking about people who might not be as savvy as the one who recognized instantly that this was not anything that she had done, but people who just innocently may have thought, well, I might have accidentally done something, and then you could be on the hook for, you know, thinking you're on the hook and thinking you're going to pay out to these crooks. What about this romance scenario? Jonathan, I think you're going to weigh in on how this works.
Yeah, so this is something that we've been tracking, again, you know, for a while, but, you know, there just seems to be this surge. And again, as we've talked about before, you know, scammers are always kind of doing things over again. They don't stick to one thing for long. They recycle them. Sometimes it might be once a year, like tax scams, right? Sometimes you kind of hit one every other year or so. But this romance scenario has been pretty consistent. And the reason why is because with the pandemic and a lot of people being stuck at home, you've got a lot of people out there that are online, they're on the computer, and they're lonely. They don't have people that are visiting them. They're not able to connect with people. And so what we're seeing is, again, more of these romance scams. So this is when a scammer has tricked a victim into developing a relationship online. So they're going to approach the victim through social media, or maybe the person connects with somebody through a dating site. Again, people are looking for companionship. They're looking for just friendship, some kind of relationship with sitting at home. And so that's, again, why scammers are having a lot of luck with this, is because when people are lonely and they're looking for these relationships, they're using your relationship and your loneliness to be able to gain trust over you. So first, what they're going to do once they've kind of gained a relationship with you, they're going to test the waters a little bit and, you know, ask for money with the promise that, you know, hey, I'll pay you back, and it might be a low amount. After some time goes by and they have the victim's trust, they're going to ask for more money. They're going to and they might even ask for explicit videos or photos, kind of like Ada was talking about before, in a little bit of a different way. They might use those videos to say, hey, now that you sent this to me, I'm going to send this to your family unless you pay me money. That's one scenario. The other scenario, which is usually the case, is, you know, the victim is going to keep having to pay out more and more money because they're asking them to pay for a plane ticket to come see them, which never happens. Well, I can't get on the plane because I've actually got this life-threatening health condition. And if you give me $2,000, $3,000, let me get my surgery first. Then I'll come on that plane and come see you. And it just kind of goes on and on there. We had one example of a scammer, or a victim rather, that was scammed by about $6,200 because that scammer claimed that they needed money for his mother's surgery. And this individual, the victim, sold her car because she thought this person would pay her back because, again, trust had been established. So these romance scenarios, these sextortion scams, again, are exploiting victims' vulnerabilities for financial gain. They're preying on feelings of loneliness and fear and public embarrassment. You know, again, as Ada said, you know, they're going to threaten to, you know, call your boss or send this information out to your coworkers. So, you know, this threatening of the release of embarrassing footage can have a negative impact on one's personal and professional reputation. And it triggers this need sometimes for self-preservation. Even if it comes at the cost of hundreds of thousands of dollars, or even people, we've had people report where they kind of pull away from their family a little bit because they're embarrassed. Either they know they've been scammed, or in some cases, we had a woman come to our office a couple of years ago. Her grandfather was getting scammed. The whole family knew it was a scam, and he didn't think it was. He was so you know, interested in this person and having this relationship, thought that they were honest, that he kind of lost his family. And what they suspect was probably close to $100,000 of money that they just kept paying out. So this is a stressful situation, but BBB urges potential victims to remain level-headed, consider the situation, think things through, and get more information.
Okay. We are going to be coming back and talk about some of the ways you can protect yourself, whether you're worried about a romance scam or a sextortion scam. either one. I mean, they're both victimizing people all across the nation, and we certainly want to make sure you have the tools to arm yourself to protect yourself. So that's coming up, as well as much more on how you can protect yourself against some internet scams. That's coming up as we continue with The Extra here on KRDO News Radio. Back to the Extra, and we're continuing our discussion with Jonathan Liebert, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado, and Ada Rodriguez, one of their vice presidents. So let's start with you, Jonathan. Talk about the red flags when you're talking about these scams that people can be targeted by, sextortion scams, romance scams, whether they're innocent, whether the two parties never even meet. There are some red flags that you can watch out for. What should they be?
Absolutely. And again, you know, people need to make sure they're paying attention, and people need to make sure they're really kind of keeping a level head through all this stuff. Scammers are trying to get you to move fast. They're trying to spook you, freak you out. And, you know, you just got to kind of stay calm. Again, do some research, but, you know, really make sure that you're watching out for a couple of these red flags. Number one, the scammer does not provide details about what site you supposedly visited. So again, it's that shock value. Of, oh my God, did I, or I can't remember, you know, it's so kind of out of left field, right? You don't expect to kind of get this email about, you know, we're going to dump all your browser history and send it to your family and your employer. It's like, whoa, did I do something on accident? Like, what happened? So again, it's going to be usually pretty vague, not a lot of information, not a lot of details. So I think that's red flag number one. Number two, the scammer doesn't offer evidence to prove that they have any information they claim. So if they claim they've hacked into your camera and have a bunch of video of you doing things at home, and they can't prove it to you, or photos or any of that kind of stuff. Again, they can say whatever they want, but if they don't have any proof other than like a password, as Ada mentioned in the first segment, then again, probably another red flag that they're just trying to spook you and get you to move quickly before that level-headedness kind of comes around and you think through this. Number three, the scammer requests an urgent ransom be paid in gift cards, Bitcoin, or wire transfer. It used to be just wire transfer and gift cards. Now we're seeing a lot of Bitcoin. People want to get paid in that. And so, again, I think when it's pay now, it's urgent. And again, you see it with a lot of scams. You know, act now. We're going to cancel this. We're going to send you to jail. We're going to turn off your power. We're going to send this email out. You know, those types of things are another red flag, but just this urgent thing seemingly out of nowhere. Number four. If there's something that looks funky in these emails that you get, and usually it will be, look for grammatical errors, spelling mistakes, you know, just this, just odd kind of phrases that people, you know, might make as well. That's another indication of this. And so, again, those are the four things just at a high level that really can kind of tip you off that this is a scam. Or, you know, again, take some time, do some research. It's going to be a little, you know, spook you for sure. And that's the intent, is to kind of grab your attention and go, oh my God, I had no idea. And then you pay money. So again, stay level headed and calm.
And Ada, there are ways that we can protect ourselves in addition to being very eagle eyed about those red flags.
Yeah. So a lot of these are going to sound familiar just with protecting yourself in general for scams, but some of them are very specific to the ones we just went over. One of the things that we encourage is to search the names of the people you're communicating with, make sure that they haven't been used in a prior scam or their name of a famous person. There's a whole article on tips on romance scams on BBB.org for those that are interested in that specifically. Of course, never send compromising images to yourself or anyone, no matter who they are. Search the web for one or two sentences from the email to see if it's a spam and to see if maybe it's copied from another website, how often it's been used. Do not respond to the email. Delete the email. Don't pay much attention to it, honestly, other than, of course, doing some research to see if your information has been compromised. But the email itself does not need to be responded to. You don't want to click on links or attachments, of course. That's incredibly dangerous. Never send money, buy gift cards, don't comply with any of the demands, because then, of course, you're just feeding into this scam, right? Do a security check on your computer, install security software, change your passwords regularly. Cannot remind people enough of that, right, to make your password unique and difficult. Password 123 has been used way too many times. Enable two-factor authentication on your important accounts that requires you to put in, you know, a code from your phone number in addition to your password. Keep your webcams covered just for peace of mind. I think that's an important thing to do anyways. And then if you can, check to see if your email has been compromised. Sometimes you'll get emails from various companies stating that their information was part of a security breach, which therefore means yours was. Don't don't disregard those emails because that could be part of why you're receiving these scams. So those are just kind of some top high level how to protect yourself, which again are general ways to protect yourself, but specific to these as well as we kind of wrap up the sextortion scam section.
All right. Well, and let's talk also scams. Well, we need to take a short break. So why don't you just give us a preview, Jonathan, scams against children, what they are now, what the crooks are now eyeing as far as how they can take advantage.
Yeah. So it's not enough that, you know, each of us have to watch out to make sure we're staying safe, but you absolutely have to make sure you're paying attention to what your kids are looking at and what they're downloading. So when we come back from the break, yeah, we'll definitely talk about, you know, kids creating accounts on websites, contests and giveaways that they might be getting. Obviously, there's phishing for kids, understanding some of the apps that are trying to collect information, and then file sharing sites. There's a lot of stuff that kids are exposed to that parents may not even know. And it's not necessarily inappropriate stuff. It's just, again, ways for scammers to get information from kids who are completely unsuspecting. And adults may not even know that their emails and information are getting compromised.
We'll unpack all of that as we continue here on The Extra. We'll also talk about the BBB's Night of Excellence. It's a way to celebrate local small businesses. And that's coming up I believe, October 21st. Right, Jonathan?
That's correct.
Okay. We'll be talking more about that with Jonathan Liebert and Ada Rodriguez of the BBB coming up. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back. We're with Jonathan Liebert and Ada Rodriguez of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. All right, Jonathan, you started tackling a bit of how crooks are targeting our kids over the internet. And it's something that we need to worry about, especially as they become more financially involved, you know, actually having accounts, whether it's Cash Apps or Venmos or what have you. So why don't you tell us a little bit more of what the BBB is seeing?
Yeah, just make sure you're watching this stuff for your kids. And it's not just social media sites. There's a lot of companies, unethical companies, that are trying to sell unauthorized information. Advertisers that are trying to get kids and trying to target them in marketing to get them to, you know, spend parents' money or give them information, right, they can then use and sell. So just be aware of your kids creating accounts on websites. Be wary of contests and giveaways. Again, kids are really going to be, hey, this is something free. I can win. And let me enter my information in here. Let me give my address. You know, again, one of those things you always tell your kids, never put anything online about your location, right? So got to really make sure you're watching those contests and giveaways that kids might want to, that think they're going to win something. Phishing, obviously, is big with adults. It's big with kids. Kids are going to get junk mail. And they don't have a lot of experience about, you know, any of this stuff. So they're going to be way more susceptible to adults because adults are kind of used to dealing with this stuff now. Some emails may be legitimate. The kid's not going to know between either one of them. So, again, you know, a lot of these are going to be nothing that a parent wants. You don't want to have a $500 bill from a fraudulent website that suddenly pops up because a kid has made a purchase. I mean, you got to be careful about all this stuff, about what your kid is, who they're talking to, what they're downloading, on what sites they're visiting. And again, when they have those email accounts, what's coming into those email accounts? Understanding apps that your kid is using too. Apps are going to collect and share personal information about your child. There's a lot of stuff going on right now between Apple and Facebook talking about this. And so there could be ads that are trying to get information from your kid. There might be free apps that include paid subscriptions later on that kids might have to download. And children are not going to understand the difference between apps or games. And they're not going to understand, you know, money necessarily. You know, a lot of kids just, you know, it's a credit card, right? But that's sitting over there in mom or dad's wallet.
Right.
They're just going to go take that, put this number in there. They don't understand how it works. And so it's typically really easy for a kid to go get your wallet and enter in some information. And then pretty soon these bills are kind of getting racked up. And they're not doing it to be deceitful. They just don't know. And then the last thing is just file sharing sites. There's a lot of websites out there that ask children to download free media. So kids that have cell phones want that, you know, new wallpaper. It's really cool. It's a great way to get kids. Is that this is where you might be downloading viruses that's going to give access to that phone or to a computer and personal information. So just be aware of what they're downloading, what they're looking at. Just pay attention to it. Talk to them about it. Make sure that they're not paying for anything. More specifically, watch what they're downloading, because it could be downloading some nasty stuff onto your home network that will absolutely put your family at risk.
And fry every electronic that you might have. Ada, let's bring you into the conversation. Why don't you talk about some tips for how we parents can manage our kids' online activities?
Yeah, so some great tips are know your resources and know what's out there. And two of the organizations I want to mention quickly are the Children's Advertising Review Unit, which essentially is a national program, part of BBB, under COPPA, which is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act. And it's important to know about these agencies because that helps parents understand what businesses and companies are required to do as an advertiser that maybe is directed towards children. So there are certain rules and regulations they need to follow in order to ensure the privacy of our younger viewers, right? So understanding those, evaluating those, knowing that companies are held to certain standards if they work specifically with younger children. COPPA in particular is kind of for children under the age of 13. They're really focusing on how these companies are advertising. So there are certain requirements for those sites. Some of the other things as parents are teach your children the language of online privacy, help them understand what that means, read privacy policies together. They're even overwhelming for adults, right? Understanding some of those terms. A lot of people just skip through them, right? Avoid sharing your location, like Jonathan mentioned earlier. That is dangerous in itself. Use parental controls if necessary. Research what's available as a parent in order to control your electronics. Education, of course, is more valuable than parental controls because at some point your kids are going to be out of your home.
We hope.
Yeah,
someday.
Right. You at least hope, right?
Someday. Be nice.
share with care. And so helping them understand that when you post something online, it can last a lifetime and it can do damage. It can open you up for vulnerability. Stay current, keep pace with the new ways to be safe online. So learning about new scams, new ways to protect yourself. You can't just learn it once, unfortunately, and put the book away. You have to continue to stay updated on what's targeting our younger online users. Yeah. And so those are kind of just the general tips. I think, you know, if you want more information, there's so much information on the web on just how to protect your children, even Googling that. The Federal Trades Commission, FTC, and then, of course, BBB.org and BBB Scam Tracker, whether that's to report a scam or to research scams. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of resources out there for parents in order to help educate themselves and their children, right? A lot of the same scams are targeting children as well.
Yeah, and it feels exhausting sometimes to be the parent who's
right.
being asked to evolve to, respond and protect our kids from these scammers. But at the same time, the crooks, they're not sitting back on their laurels. They are evolving at a much,
right.
quicker pace sometimes than we can anticipate. So you just have
right.
to do that work.
Right. Yes, if it wasn't hard enough to be a parent, now you have to worry about protecting your children's online presence.
Right, right. But we hope that some of the tools that you've talked about and also the BBB's resources that people can find online will be helpful and will help you at least ease that burden. We're going to continue the conversation with Jonathan Liebert and Ada Rodriguez of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Colorado. We need to take a short break, but when we come back, a night of excellence, what it's about, and who is being celebrated. That's coming up in your next local check of this part of the Extra. Keep on listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back for the final segment of the Extra. Today, our guests, Jonathan Liebert and Ada Rodriguez with the Better Business Bureau. Okay, let's talk about the upcoming annual Night of Excellence. And it's been happening for quite some time. Jonathan, why don't you tell us about this celebration?
Absolutely. And this is our 27th annual Night of Excellence. This is the biggest ceremony we have for the entire year for BBB award ceremony, and this is serving kind of all of Southern Colorado. So what we look for in this to honor our local business community is folks that are doing this really great work around customer service. And customer service now in this age is even more important, right? More important than ever. So this is Thursday, October 21st, from 4 o'clock to 7:30 p.m., and it's at the Flying W Ranch. Not a lot of people know that the Flying W Ranch opened back up this year. It burned down, so they were closed for about 8 years, but they're back open. Their new venue is it's absolutely incredible. If you haven't checked it out, it's an iconic business here in our community, and so that's kind of our theme this year is iconic brands, BBB, Flying W Ranch, a lot of the folks that are here and the finalists, and the theme is iconic brands recharged and ready to ride. So we've got some great businesses that are going to be here. Some of the applicants are Bob Pincus Motor Company, Kaiser Permanente, Louisa Graff Jewelers, McCloskey Motors, Peak Structural Inc., Rocky Mountain Pace, and Wirenut Home Services. And so, you know, we're urging, you know, everybody that loves small businesses, which hopefully is everybody in this community. We've got a really great business community, a lot of support for folks that came out and supported small businesses during kind of the shutdown and all this interesting stuff that's happened. And so this is a great town for sure. And this is going to be the iconic Flying W Ranch, as we said. And, you know, we're just excited to celebrate with our business community and hopefully get one more event in there before winter comes and it gets a little bit chillier.
And if I remember correctly, you did hold a Night of Excellence last year, but it was virtual, correct? Right?
It was. So usually, obviously, these are all in person. So last year, for the first time ever, we did a virtual event. But this year, it will be in person. And what's really nice about the Flying W Ranch is that all the windows open. And so we'll have, you know, the ability to have open windows, social distancing. It's a huge venue. And so I know people are going to feel really, really safe about going if they decide to come dressed up in their finest cowboy or cowgirl fashion. So it's going to be a fun event.
That's a lot easier to sell certain members of your circle when you say, yeah, you get to wear jeans and cowboy boots. No need to dress up. I mean, that's perfect. Maybe a cowboy hat, right?
Not a bad deal, for sure.
That's right. And what does the money that's raised through ticket sales, what does that go toward?
So this is actually going to Better Business Bureau. And so this is, again, you know, we offer, you know, a lot of free services to the community. One of those services is the website. And so that website where you can get free information on businesses you can trust, it helps us, you know, keep all that stuff kind of going so that, you know, consumers can have access to free business information that is unbiased. I mean, we're a nonprofit. And so I think that helps us really make sure that we're providing unbiased, you know, objective information about businesses because it's really about our mission versus the profits.
Right. And it's a legacy of providing that unbiased information. I mean, when we talk every month and also we talk monthly on KRDO's Morning News with the BBB as well, I mean, you offer that unvarnished advice that really, I think, helps consumers out in the marketplace avoid some of the pitfalls that can land them into trouble.
Absolutely. And we've seen a doubling effect during kind of the 2020, 2021 of the number of consumers that come visit our website. So we last year hit 1.2 million views. This year we've already hit 1 million and kind of growing. Usually we hit around 600,000, 700,000 or so. So again, we've seen a pretty much a doubling effect of people coming to find businesses on BBB.org of businesses they can trust. Again, a lot of this because of the scams that are going on, the pandemic, and, you know, people need to make sure they're not getting ripped off in this day and age. There's a lot of that going around, unfortunately.
Well, we certainly wish you well for a night of excellence, and we'll make sure that we put the link on our podcast page. So if listeners are interested, they can go to krdo.com/radio, look in the podcast link, and you'll find the link that will lead you to this. Also, you can go to bbb.org to find out information. Jonathan, we do expect you to be riding up on a horse if you're going to be the grandmaster host for this.
That would be awesome. I'm not opposed to doing that. We'll have to talk to the folks over there at Flying W Ranch, see if they can help coordinate that.
Give it a yippee-haw. Okay. Right. So in our final couple of minutes here, I'd like to invite both Ada and Jonathan to maybe kind of compress what we've discussed today and what it means for our listeners. Ada, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I think really the main piece today is just continuing to keep an eye out for various types of scams. I think the sextortion scams are a little bit newer for people. So just reminding everyone that scammers are creative and they will do just about anything to fish and to try to get that information. So I just kind of want to leave listeners with that reminder that when you think something might be too far-fetched or weird, think again. Scammers, unfortunately, are going to give it a try.
Right, right. We have to stay vigilant. All right. And Jonathan Lieber, CEO of the Better Business Bureau, in our final minute, what would you like to pass along to our listeners?
I have an example, actually. So we're talking about romance scams. And while we were talking, the scammers are listening, apparently, to this radio program because I got a romance scam text, which is absolutely fascinating.
You were kidding. So,
and it says, and here again, the stuff we talked about. Hi, I am 100% pretty girl, G-I-R-L, so weird spelling. Do you want to dating, miss, you know, bad grammar, comma, therefore, without the E, I have a pic on here. So bad grammar, bad spelling, and then it has an HTTP site. And so this is a perfect example of they want you to click that link. It's a 704 number that's, I think, North Carolina, not local. They're trying to get you to click that link and, you know, again, download malware or get personal information from me. They just sent this in this massive group text to a bunch of people. And, you know, this is the perfect example of don't click that link.
Don't,
you know,
do it.
It's pretty obvious that this is a scam, but I mean, these are going out all the time. So just be aware, be vigilant. I'm going to block this on my phone now from this number, so I won't get these again from this person, but just stay vigilant out there, everybody.
Brazen the way that crooks target and continue to target people, and you know, eventually, you know, they probably have a response rate of like less than 1%, but that's enough to make it lucrative for them, unfortunately. So we're aiming to get that to absolute zero. So keep your guard up, stay vigilant, and if you have doubts, consult the BBB by going to BBB.org. Again, Jonathan Liebert and Ada Rodriguez of the Better Business Bureau, thank you for being our guest today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And again, a night of excellence coming up October 21st. We encourage our listeners, if you're so interested, go there, celebrate small businesses. You've been listening to The Extra on KRDO News Radio.